It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for the Jets-Patriots post-game report. The Jets win this one 17-3. So for the second year in a row, they are 7-10. So to recap everything that went down at Gillette Stadium out in Foxborough today, our friend Andy Vasquez, who covers the Jets for NJ.com. Andy, if nothing else, the Jets finally broke their streak against the New England Patriots, and if the reporting is accurate, they may have sent Bill Belichick out of New England on a loss. I suppose no matter what you think of what happened today in terms of what it did for the Jets draft position and what it did for the Patriots draft position, that's something that will always be fun. If Bill Belichick had his last game today as a Patriots head coach, if the Jets sent him out on a loss, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the image of him walking off the field, all bundled up, no hoodie, but a face mask. I think also kind of hiding his true emotions. The Jets don't have very many good moments when it comes to Bill Belichick. But today, at least that was a good one. And I know for those guys in the locker room, they're very glad that they don't have to answer the question about losing 15 straight and their last win being in 2015 and their last win in Foxborough being in 2011 with Bart Scott's famous game. Can't wait. That was good for the Jets. And I think, honestly, there is something to be said for that, where they can kind of move past what has been really one of the best or one of the worst, you know, eras that they've ever had, you know, as a team. And the centerpiece of that was not being able to win against the Patriots anywhere. So, you know, it may have taken their starters being in the game the entire time, and it may have taken it till the last 2 minutes, but they got it done.
Andy, before we get into the nuts and bolts of this game, the weather was just absolutely brutal. What was it like in person?
Yeah, it was a long day. I mean, it kept getting worse, and I stayed in Boston on Saturday night, and, you know, the worry was going to be getting to the stadium. It actually didn't really snow in Boston. It snowed more down in Foxborough, and that's the most snow I've seen on a field during a game, and this is my eighth year doing this. So it was slippery. It was a sloppy game, as most games are for the Jets this year, and it ended up being a good day for running the ball, right? As we saw plenty of that.
Running the ball for Breece Hall specifically, because he was the star of this game, touched the ball 39 times, 2 catches for 12 yards, but 37 carries, 178 yards, and a touchdown. This one got him very close to 1,000 yards for the season, but he came up just short. The mathematics on this one were funny, because the Jets were touting that Breece Hall had become the first running back they had since 2015 with Chris Ivory to get over 1,000 yards rushing in a season. Turns out that they did the calculations wrong and he was just short, but a very nice season for Breece Hall, all things considered, with the terrible offensive line and not long removed from that bad injury last year. To come back and have over 1,500 all-purpose yards, pretty impressive. And you have to figure that if the Jets can improve their offensive line and the run blocking next year, Breece Hall could be a real force for them if he can stay healthy. That said, boy, were they playing a game of Russian roulette with Breece Hall today, because as we'll talk about a little bit later, Garrett Wilson had a bit of a scare. Breece Hall touching the ball 39 times in this weather, as we said, just a year removed from that major injury, seemed like a huge risk. In the end, they got the victory, but a lot of Jets fans were holding their breath in this one.
Yeah, I think now that it's over, it worked out well, because if there were any questions about Breece Hall's health and if he's back to 100%, I think all of them were answered today. I mean, if he can carry that kind of workload, and I think it has been a season where he was banged up at times and not obviously running behind a good offensive line. And it was tough sledding there about 5 or 6 games ago. And the way he finished the season, you know, should have every Jets fan excited about next year. And I also think, you know, it's one of the problems with this team. And, you know, you could say, you know, losing Rodgers on the fourth snap of the season, 7-10 isn't that bad, but it's the game, they talk a big game and they rarely back it up. And for Breece Hall last week to say, you know, we're going to show people, I'm going to show people. And I know this is a meaningless game, but for him to play like that, you know, right after saying that and kind of teasing that for next year, I think that is significant. I think that is, you know, what the Jets have to start doing next year, which is backing up their cockiness, backing up their trash talk and delivering. And, you know, again, it's not a result that changes anything about this terrible year, but I do think that you can kind of look back perhaps on this as being, you know, a tide turning moment just because of all the symbolism of today and what that represents.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Offensively, besides Breece Hall, there really wasn't anything going on here for the Jets or Patriots for that matter. Trevor Siemian, 8 of 20 for 70 yards. That was the winning quarterback in this game. As far as the receiving goes, Garrett Wilson, 2 catches for 34 yards. He ended up coming out with an injury, which we'll get into later when we break down the injuries and go inside the locker room. And for the New England Patriots, it was actually worse, if you can believe it. Bailey Zappe, 12 of 30 for 88 yards and 2 interceptions. Ezekiel Elliott was okay on the ground, 13 carries for 54 yards. Clearly nothing close to what we saw from Breece Hall. And the big receiving threat of the day was Jalen Reagor, who had 1 catch for 33 yards. Absolutely no offense in this game outside of Breece Hall on either team.
Yeah, it was not a good, it was not a fun football game to watch. You know, not a lot of touchdowns. I mean, it was what, 9-6 or 9-3, you know, heading into the 2-minute warning. So, and the Jets end up winning 17-3. So, yeah, it was an ugly game. It was, you know, as bad as conditions as you could see for a quarterback. Trevor Siemian said that after the game, that's the worst conditions he's ever played in. Asked CJ Mosley about that. He said, yeah, you know, I thought last week in Cleveland was worse. So, it depends on what position you're playing. Obviously, I think, you know, the cold that night and the way the field was, that was probably a rougher night for other guys. But I think today, you know, you saw even the Patriots when they tried to run that, you know, flea flicker, double flea flicker, whatever that was in the final minutes, it was like everything was in slow motion. And it wasn't just, you know, the players not being up to the task. It was, you know, the footing by the end of that game was definitely treacherous.
Defensively, the Jets had some pretty good performances. Quinton Williams, who has been really good all year, although he hasn't had the sack numbers that he did last year, he had 2 sacks today. 2 sacks for Bryce Huff, who gets to 10.5 on the season and becomes the first Jets edge rusher since Calvin Pace 10 years ago to go over 10 sacks in a season. He had some interesting comments after the game that we'll get into about his free agent status, because he is an impending free agent. He's going to get paid a lot of money. A really nice year for Bryce Huff overall. Speaking of edge rushers, he wasn't the only one that shined today. A sack for Jermaine Johnson, who had a breakout season, 7.5 on the year for him. He also had 7 passes defensed and an interception. Really good sophomore season for Jermaine Johnson. Will McDonald, who hasn't played a ton this year, but he's made it count when he did. Another sack for him today. He ended up with 3 on the season. Jalen Holmes got in there and was able to get himself a sack. And there were a couple of turnovers that were forced here as well. Talked about Bailey Zappe throwing the 2 interceptions. One was to Tony Adams and the other to Ashton Davis. So 2 Jets safeties getting in there. I think you could easily make the case that Ashton Davis was the Jets' best safety this year, which is kind of scary, but he really played a lot better this season. He flashed a lot of what the Jets thought he could be when they drafted him in the 3rd round out of Cal in 2020, and I think he's probably earned the right to come back on a second contract, which you never would have believed last year. You would have thought for sure he was going to be out of here, and he was a huge bust. But he may end up being the best value out of that entire draft, which is kind of wild, because even though he's definitely become a better player, I wouldn't exactly say he's a star or anything, but he had a nice day today as well. So, Andy, on the defensive side of the ball, the Jets making a lot of plays in this bad weather. The Patriots had terrible conditions working against them on offense, as did the Jets. But the Jets made the Patriots pay for it a lot, as opposed to the Patriots, who weren't able to do the same. And that, in a lot of ways, in addition to Breece Hall's performance, was the difference in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Jets defense has been pretty good all year, with the exception of that first half in Cleveland. Again, the Patriots are what they are at this point. It's not surprising that they played well. And I thought Ashton Davis, that was, when you go back a couple years ago and remember that Jonathan Taylor run in Indianapolis and the route that he took to try to tackle him, and he just looked completely lost. For him to be where he is now, it's pretty impressive. And, I've been highly critical of the Jets coaching staff as a whole, but the way they've developed their defensive players with Ashton Davis, the way he's become a much better player with what we saw from Quincy Williams, I think that's why you're going to hear Jeff Ulbrich getting some consideration for a head coaching job, because they've done a really good job with developing these guys. Jermaine Johnson's another one who really, had a rough year at times last year. Even after all the hype coming into this year, it was not a great start. And then for the year he put together, I mean, that is, let's give credit where credit is due, a credit to the players for working hard, but also a credit to the staff. And it's been a year with a lot of negativity, but that is something that I think Jets fans should be excited about.
Andy, injury-wise, I mentioned before that Garrett Wilson came off the field. What do we know about that and anything else we need to know injury-wise?
Yeah, that was a scary moment. Jabril Peppers, at first it looked kind of like it was a dirty late hit, and then it's pretty obvious. It was hard to stop out there. So he just ran into him and ran into him the wrong way. He was evaluated for a concussion. Garrett Wilson was ended up clearing that, but he was ruled out with a neck injury. We didn't see him in the locker room after, but the sense that I got, obviously there's not a game for another 9 months. With the neck injury, it's always kind of a concern, but it didn't seem to be like there was a lot of worry about it. But we'll find out more in the morning when we talk to Robert Saleh. So other than that, the only other injury that I believe there was today was Jordan Whitehead, who left in the first half of the calf injury and did not return. I think he's been dealing with that for most of the second half of the season. So, yeah, for the Jets to get out of there pretty much, injury-free, and that was a scary moment with Garrett Wilson. And, I guess we'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, that was the risk today when you're running all your best players out there. And it seems like they mostly got away with it. And again, it would have been a much different story if there's some serious injury suffered and it's in a game that doesn't mean anything. But I also do think, again, I know a lot of fans are going to want to hear this because of what happened with the draft position, but I do think it was important in some ways for them to put some of this stuff behind them by getting the job done today.
Andy, take us inside the locker room. What we hear from Coach Robert Saleh and some of the players after the game?
Yeah, it was kind of the same old tune from Saleh, talking about, basically touting all of the reasons why this year wasn't as, much of a bad year as everybody thought it was. He talked about how they beat the Eagles for the first time in franchise history. He talked about ending the streak against the Patriots. He talked about finishing 3-5. He didn't mention this, but this was also his first road win against an AFC East opponent. So, that is a positive. He said that, it may look from the outside like they're not that close, but they feel like they're really close. And my response to that would be, let's see it. Like, let's see you guys win some games. Let's see you get into playoff position midway through the season and deliver on it. And then obviously everybody saw what happened at the end of the game in Cleveland and how he didn't appreciate the question that was asked about his emotions. And he said, do you want me to flip over or throw the podium on the ground? It's a lectern, but we'll leave that for another day. At the end of the press conference today, he actually had a pretty good line, and he said, why didn't you ask me why I wasn't doing cartwheels? So, I mean, that was funny and, kind of a full circle moment on this strange year. In the locker room, yeah, Bryce Huff, I thought that was one of the most interesting things said. A lot of times these guys will get asked questions heading into free agency about a hometown discount, and he'll talk around it or won't give an honest answer. Bryce Huff did not take that route. He said, there will be no discount. I've worked too hard for this, and I owe it to myself and to my family and those close to me to see what my value is. And I think, again, that some fans may not like that, but look at what any team does with NFL players. If they're no longer productive, doesn't matter what's on their contract, they're going to move on. And NFL players need to have the same mindset. If you want to be critical of anybody, be critical of the Jets for not getting a deal done, an extension done, when they could have probably, you know, had a better price earlier this season. But also, he may not have been interested. His representatives may not have been interested, you know, as he's putting together a breakout year. So it's just the reality. And the Jets are going to have a tough decision to make because they have depth at edge rusher. Are they going to, you know, where does the price go? It's going to definitely get above $15 million a year. I think at that, they should bring him back. But once it starts climbing, it's going to be a tough choice. And if somebody offers something the Jets can't pay, they can't afford to really overpay him when you got, you know, guys waiting in the wings like Will McDonald. So that you invested the 15th pick in the draft last year. So that's going to be interesting. And yeah, there was a lot of questions also about Belichick. Nobody was really biting on that. You know, CJ Mosley got asked like 10 questions in a row about it. Basically, it was like, well, when we find out it's his last game, you know, it's nice to finally get a win over him. And we'll deal with it when we find out it's his last game. But, you know, I was appreciative of the chance to, you know, be able to compete against him. So, again, that's kind of the overall mood in the locker room. And then the other thing about it is that, like, Trevor Siemian straight up said, like, I think guys are going to be happy to not be asked about this anymore. And the same stuff with Robert Saleh on the Belichick stuff. He said, you know, basically that, you know, it wasn't about any of that. It feels good to get the win, but they're not focused on what it means for the Patriots. They're focused on what it means for the Jets, which I think is the right thing to say. And as for like running up the score or whatever, he was pretty clear about what happened with Breece Hall. He said that even they on the sideline, when he had that 50-yard touchdown run, they thought they did the math wrong and thought he was at 1,000 for the year. He was actually 10 short. So that's why he got the carry at the end of the game. And I don't know why they didn't burn a timeout if they were trying to get him to 1,000. Maybe they thought he got there with the 4-yard carry. Maybe their math was really off. I don't really know how that went down, but he ended up getting a 4-yard carry, ended up with 994. Still, like we said, a great year for Breece Hall. So obviously, you know, the Jets are going to be back in the facility on Monday, and the conversation will move very quickly past this game and on to what they need to do this offseason to fix this team. And it's not going to be as simple, I think, as everyone has seen. It's not going to be as simple as plugging Aaron Rodgers in there, especially if they're this team like they like to claim they are, that's going to contend for a Super Bowl. It's going to take more than that. Maybe they can win 10, 11 games with Rodgers, but for them to be a dangerous team that can really contend for a Super Bowl, they're going to need another weapon. They're going to need to fix the offensive line, which is not an easy thing to do in one offseason because Joe Douglas said 5 to do it and hasn't yet. So there's going to be work to do, and that's where the conversation will turn, rightfully so, tomorrow. And the Jets, if they had won this game, could have been picking – I'm sorry, if they had lost this game, they could have been picking – they would have been picking 6, and now they'll be picking 10, and it's going to be a lot harder to get one of those offensive tackles there. And that's where the anger from the fans is understandable about winning this game, and that's a tough balance. And I don't know what the right answer is. I'm not going to pretend to know, but I know a lot of people will have their opinions and on what the right answer is.
Andy, as you said, the Jets are now picking 10th. The Bears have 2 picks in the top 10. They have the first pick from Carolina. They've got their own pick, which is 9th. Washington is 2nd. So I guess that's one saving grace, is that Washington still wound up ahead of New England. So New England will probably not be able to get Drake May or Caleb Williams unless they make some sort of trade up. Arizona is 4th. The Chargers are 5th. The Giants are 6th. Tennessee 7th. Atlanta 8th, and then, as I said, Chicago 9 and the Jets 10. So that's where the Jets end in the draft order. Like you said, going to be harder to get one of those top tackles. But as we have heard many times from Jets fans who have said that they will never root for draft position, it's not about where you pick, it's about who you pick. And while that is true, of course, it's easier to get a better player if you're higher up because you have more choices, and obviously statistically your odds are better of getting the best available player. However, the Jets at number 10 should be able to be in the running for a good player. The question is going to be who. The question is going to be which players will be on the board. The question is going to be what do they do in free agency so that you know exactly what they need the most going into this draft and what their strategy is going to be. A long way to go until we get to April. We got to see who they re-sign from their own roster, including Bryce Huff. We got to see what they do in free agency all before the draft. So there's a lot to come in the next couple of months, but today, the 2023 regular season came to a close. The Jets finished 7-10 after a victory over the New England Patriots 17-3 at Foxborough, as we said, snapping that long losing streak to the New England Patriots. And if the reports are true about Bill Belichick potentially sending their longtime nemesis out on a loss. Andy Vasquez, covering the Jets for NJ.com. Thanks so much for coming on and recapping this game with me. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out your work over at NJ.com, you're going to be wrapping up the season, and then I'm sure you're going to be having a lot of content coming up over the next month or so, previewing players that the Jets can get in free agency, and then even beyond that, who they can get in the draft too as well, right?
Yeah, and if everything was a little disjointed there, guys, sorry, I was in an Uber, still making my way back from Foxborough because got to be at the facility bright and early in the morning. I'm back home now. But one more thing I meant to add with the Belichick thing. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And the fact that Bill Belichick started his postgame press conference by basically saying, I'm not talking about that. There'll be a time to talk about that, I think, is also telling. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we're going to be touching on. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to be touching on at NJ.com in the coming days. Already got a look at some of the key free agents that the Jets are going to have to make decisions on. Had that up right after the game. A breakdown of where the Jets are picking, how it all kind of worked out, and where they'll be playing next year, because we've figured out their last few opponents today on the last day of the season. And yeah, then we'll just be breaking it down, the grades for the season, and some interesting things there. I'll have a thing with my own awards for the season. The Jets obviously had theirs last year or last week with Quincy Williams being the MVP, which I thought was also very interesting given the Pro Bowl snub. And yeah, we'll go from there. Obviously going to be a busy week with a lot of questions asked at the facility tomorrow. I anticipate we'll talk to Joe Douglas. I know we will this week, and probably Woody Johnson as well. So yeah, we'll have full coverage of that. And then moving forward, looking at what the Jets can do in the draft, looking at what the Jets can do in free agency, and to try to get it right next year when Aaron Rodgers hopefully will be back on the field for the Jets.
Make sure you check out everything Andy's doing at NJ.com. Check out everything we've got going on over at PlayLikeAJet.com as well. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.